Arr, pirate fans, it's time to find out the state of the ship of your defending champions for the 2022 season with your hosts, Johnny Wilbur and Jake Ignazewski. And now, it's the state of the ship.
Welcome into the state of the ship, Johnny Wilbur and the big man, Jake Ignazewski. Jake, it's been a long time. Nice to see you. A little bit of different setting, too, here as we float through the offseason. And we're floating through a lot of things here today. And it's just nice to be back here talking a little bit about the Pirates. It may be for the last time in this segment of this state of the ship. But I tell you what, it's been a fun time. We got a lot to go through. So, first of all, there's been a big shakeup in the IFL with the XFL and the drafts, and you're the smart one, so I'm gonna let you go through the notes of it. But wow, a lot of our players, former players, current players, signed in with the XFL, now taking in the XFL draft, whether it be in the original draft and then the supplemental draft after, and even still another supplemental draft, which this new relationship between the IFL and the XFL, it looks like it's going to be a great partnership for everybody.
I agree. And, you know, I think this partnership is huge, not only for the indoor football league's competitiveness on each team, but also just the competitiveness of spring football. You know, there's the USFL, now the XFL coming in. And, you know, I think it was a great opportunity for, you know, not only some of these players to have the opportunity to move up. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things, I think, and the most exciting things when you go to a Pirates game is you're going to watch players that could be future NFL players, and now we see a lot of future XFL players, and it's all about just making that next step, moving up. You know, a lot of these players had their opportunity in the NFL or in these big programs in college, and they come to the Pirates to get an opportunity to gain film and then ultimately move up. So, you know, the Pirates saw 18 players who either signed with the team or suited up and played in game action be attending XFL training camp. We saw 12 players from the 2022 roster who were drafted or were placed on training camp rosters. And one big component that, you know, some people might not realize is, you know, you see the XFL draft, but then there's also another thing called the NFL Alumni Academy. This was something that I just learned about over these past few months, and it's an opportunity for players who are looking to move up, sort of like most Pirates players are, and they get to showcase in front of, you know, NFL scouts and have the opportunity to work with high-level coaches. And, you know, we saw 5 different Pirates players get the opportunity to be a part of this academy, and Alejandro Benefield, Mike Glass.
A couple of names you might recognize.
Exactly. Devion Renfro, Larry Williams, and Dedrick Thomas. And so, since they were able to attend the academy, they are automatically added to XFL training camps. Now, the one component I think we should note with the partnership between the XFL and the IFL, with me saying that this really helps out the competitive balance between the two leagues, what I mean by that is, with this partnership, anytime a player gets cut from an XFL roster, whether it's through training camp or just on the active roster once the season officially gets started, then that player will be assigned to whatever team, IFL team, has their rights. And so that really helps, you know, a lot of the competitiveness stick in the indoor football league. But that also means that there's a lot of moving parts as well.
And that relationship together is really going to help drive more competitive football, more guys, younger guys, guys that maybe didn't get a look out of college that have, you know, had to work a little bit harder to get there, some more opportunities.
And that's the one thing that I feel like not a lot of people notice, especially during COVID, and that was overlooked, is a lot of those guys who should have had the opportunity to play during the 2020 season,
sure,
and been also able to, you know, work out in front of NFL scouts and maybe should have had the opportunity to be in the 2020 draft, got that sort of taken away from them due to the pandemic. So, you know, teams like the Pirates, as well as the XFL and the USL, give them an opportunity to build up film so then they are able to showcase that they deserve to move up.
You mentioned Alejandro Benefield, Mike Glass. Now, they haven't been chosen by any team. They're in that NFL alumni. They'll go into almost like a fishbowl, and these XFL teams will be able to pull them out and assign them to their team. They have the chance then to make the team or not.
Exactly. And, you know, it also gives more opportunity for a new quarterback to take the reins under center for the Massachusetts Pirates. Now, that may make some fans nervous, but at the same time, with general manager Jawad Yetim at the helm, we've seen throughout the time that the Pirates have been in existence, they always field a very competitive team. But that also means that you're able to see a guy in Mike Glass, as well as United Bowl MVP Alejandro Benefield, get that opportunity to move up. And, you know, fans who were able to sit in these seats and watch two of those guys play, they could potentially be looking at a starting quarterback for an XFL team next season.
You know, coming back, you know, 3 years, 2 years removed from the United Bowl championship, I feel that this upcoming season is going to be a hungry one for the Pirates. And I think that they're going to be looking to make a statement and say, hey, we weren't just a fluke. We weren't just one and done. We're going to be competitive, and we're going to stay competitive. And I think that seeing how many either current or former Pirates were chosen in that XFL draft shows that they have a good program here in Worcester.
Exactly. You even saw it with the USFL draft as well. The Pirates had the most players move up into the USFL. And that's one thing as well. The USFL is still intact. So there could be a lot of different moving parts throughout the season, which for fans to keep in mind, that's a good thing. You're going to be able to see guys who could potentially continue to move up. But that also means that there's a lot of moving parts. Now, the one thing...
It means there's more football.
Exactly. But the one thing for fans to stay confident, because, you know, I've seen here and there some comments about fans saying that, you know, feeling weary about the lack of signings. The main thing with not only the USFL, but the XFL draft been approaching for the last few months or so, obviously happened this past month. That was the biggest thing is, you know, some players were waiting to see if they had that opportunity to move up to the XFL in order to obviously commit to signing, whether it's with the Pirates or any IFL team. But the one thing for fans to keep in mind is that players who previously have signed with the Pirates over this past offseason do have the opportunity to get drafted into the XFL in the supplemental draft.
The USFL last year.
Exactly. And that's going to be taking place at the beginning of March. Now, players who played in the USFL and also have played for other leagues will have the opportunity to get drafted in that supplemental draft. So what's good is you could see some players move up, but you could also see some players stay as well. So, you know, for example, Arian Maxey-Penn and Ezekiel Rose, two players who the Pirates have already re-signed. Let's say they do move up to the XFL. If they get caught or released, they come right back to Massachusetts because Massachusetts already has their rights.
Now, will the Pirates have ease of signing or will this collaboration have as good of or as easy a sign? You know, the Pirates, as soon as there was an injury throughout the regular season, you were able to bring in a new kicker, or we saw a couple of quarterbacks like Mike Glass come in off the, you know, inactive rosters. Will that affect any of that free agency throughout the season?
I think it'll actually help it. I think with the partnership between the XFL and the IFL, it'll make players a lot more hungry to want to join the IFL, because that gives them the opportunity to ultimately move up. And, you know, you mentioned the injuries. And, you know, that's one thing that I believe, you know, Jawad definitely has that in the back of his mind when building this next 2023 team, is to ensure that they do have the depth in order to withstand what we saw, 22 total injuries this past season. But one other component of the partnership between the XFL and the IFL that I wanted to mention that will bring some ease to some fans' minds. As I mentioned, the Pirates don't currently have a quarterback under contract for the 2023 season. But what's good within the case of a partnership between the XFL and the IFL is that past the beginning of March, any XFL team is not allowed to sign any quarterback that is already committed to an IFL team. So that helps ultimately the competitiveness, not only for the team, because as we know, majority of the time, it's a team sport, but the quarterback is the center of that offense. And so being able to have a good competitive quarterback under center, luckily the XFL won't be able to go and pick apart these different teams.
If I was to ask you a 50-50 scale chance of Alejandro or Mike Glass returning here to the Pirates, which side of that 50-50 would you be on, Jake?
I'm gonna stay neutral. I'm gonna say 50%. Because you don't know. They could get released. They could get cut. Now we already saw the first phase of the XFL draft. We saw quarterbacks. It was around 2 to 3 that got assigned to these specific teams. Now who knows where Mike and Alejandro will specifically be placed? Now they're gonna have a lot of competition to be able to get up to that starting place in an XFL roster. They're gonna have to go through training camp. They're gonna have to be able to make that active roster first. And so we could potentially see either quarterback's return, but you know, that's obviously not for certain, especially with them already being committed to being added to an XFL training.
So now with the XFL and the NFL and the IFL all kind of collaborating together, you got to think that there, some of the money that's going to run through there is going to be great for all the leagues, and just it's going to benefit the leagues and how they can get things done and how they collaborate. But they're making that almost minor league system for football, right, beyond college, because right, the colleges has always been. But now that a lot of the guys are doing the, you know, the basketball rules in football of mm-hmm. college going one and done, I think that this is going to really help, because I think that even listening to you know, some of the NFL players now with the non-rigors of this NFL season, and meaning that they don't really practice as much as they used to, and I think that's why you're seeing NFL teams not producing as well. So I think that if you got more guys playing year round, that's going to produce a better product on the field at the top.
And what's nice is that there's a much bigger pool of players that can be selected in the NFL with actual professional film.
Sure.
So we see a lot of these guys who are free agents coming out of college. They have the college film, but they don't have the professional film. And that's one of the biggest reasons why we see guys ultimately sign with the Pirates. But one thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to sort of give a recap to fans who weren't able to watch the XFL draft or see any of the coverage that we had on our socials of what guys they might have seen either play last season, 2021, or in the past on you know, not only Phoenix Field in the DCU Center, but also suited up in a Massachusetts Pirates uniform. And, you know, the first person that was selected for the XFL draft, it was actually in the first round. And the Pirates only had to wait until the fifth overall pick to see one of their former players get selected.
Not a surprise.
And that was former Steelers wide receiver Martavius Bryant. He played one game with the Pirates, ended up making two receptions for 30 yards. But it's nice to see a guy from the Massachusetts Pirates get selected within the first five picks.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
And then now looking at that second pick, we saw wide receiver Dontez Bird. And Bird actually suited up for the Pirates this past season in 2022. Only played in three games, but we also saw him make a huge impact in 2021. Ended up playing 10 games during the championship season, including playoffs, making 20 catches, 262 yards, three touchdowns. Then this past season, had nine receptions and 81 yards with three touchdowns. So definitely nice to see one of the players from the stacked Pirates wide receiver core and
sure,
two wide receivers from 2021 get the opportunity to move up.
Without a doubt. And, you know, just to see the list of Pirates alumni that were chosen in the draft is pretty impressive.
Very true.
And keep going.
Exactly. And so we got another guy from the 2021 team and defensive back Santos Ramirez. He heard his name be called in the 18th round with the 52nd pick. Ramirez ended up playing for the Frisco Fighters this last year, but he's going to be going to the DC Defenders. And one thing that I didn't mention was Martavius Bryant's going to the Vegas Vipers. You're going to see Dontez Bird go to the Orlando Guardians. But one guy that I was really excited to see get his name selected was Everett Mass native and Boston College alum, defensive back Lucas Dennis. He suited up for the Pirates in 2022, and he was actually the first player from last year's roster to get selected. He was picked in the 20th round with the 67th pick to the St. Louis Battlehawks. So it's nice to see a guy not only from Mass, but one from Boston College get the opportunity.
Well, for sure. And you got to know a lot of these guys. So you traveled with the team last year, and you get to have those personal relationships. And you know how hard they work to get to that point. And it really does it does make you happy for them when they do get to that that goal that they're trying to achieve.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, especially with seeing Lucas's work ethic throughout the season and, you know, finding ways, you know, we saw him not only make big plays defensively, but I don't know if you remember against San Diego.
I do.
That final game made some great offensive plays as well. So I mostly obviously see him playing defense for the XFL.
Sure.
But, you know, luckily he does have that offensive film if he does need to slot in there. Then we also saw a defensive lineman, Johanna Gaffon, who was a part of the 2021 dominant defense. He got picked in the 26th round. Also by the Battlehawks as well, San Antonio Bahamas. He was
XFL sticking with those hard names.
Exactly. So he was picked with the 26th overall pick, and he ended up playing three games during the championship season, making six total tackles. And we saw another player from the 2022 Pirates defense, in Terrence Smith. He was a player, if you don't remember, he played for the Kansas City Chiefs of the NFL for four seasons, but now another opportunity to be able to move up and get as close as he can back to that NFL status. But he's going to be suiting up for the Orlando Guardians, and he was picked in the 28th round with the 41st pick, overall pick.
You know, Jake, these guys continue to impress not only at this level, but at that level as well. And then, you know, we'll see. It's just going to be fun to be able to watch these levels of football throughout the year.
Exactly. And, you know, it's also going to be interesting to see maybe what guys might come back. Also, what guys will make a huge impact in the new league. But then we also saw two different offensive linemen. And one thing that I did also want to mention, too, is with the XFL, you can't really determine the draft and the draft picks specifically with these guys' talents. The one thing that is different from the XFL draft to the NFL draft is that it was sectioned off into specific positions. And so with some of these guys, it started off with the skilled players, then the defensive players, and now we're going into the offensive line portion. So when you hear, you know, 20th round, it doesn't mean that directly correlates with the guys' talent. But, you know, we saw Rubens Joseph and Tommy Champion, two players from the 2022 offensive line, get selected. Joseph was selected in the 39th round with the 43rd overall pick from the San Antonio Brahmas. And then we saw Tommy Champion. He was selected in the 33rd round with the 38th pick for the Houston Roughnecks.
That's a great list of players that are going to play at that next level. And again, if they do get cut and they're already with the Pirates, or some of them obviously with other teams, right, they have that to fall back on. It. It's nice to have that cushion. But, you know, to have that level to play up to really has been very, very impressive. Now, looking forward to the 2023 Pirates team, I know you've done quite a few episodes without me, which I understand. Thanks for carrying the ship and keeping it afloat. Because high school baseball, I mean, and high school football have kept me pretty busy throughout the summer and fall here. But geez, Jake, a lot of changes going on in the Pirate ship.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, it's nice to see, you know, the coaching staff that Jawad has built up. You know, we got Mark Stout coming back at the helm as the head coach. We also got, you know, Sergio Gulliam, who was previously with the team in 2018. He's going to be the assistant head coach and defensive coordinator. And, you know, what's good is that, you know, with speaking with both of those coaches over these past few weeks, they have the same exact mindset of the unfinished business. And they understand that, you know, the team fell short of expectations last year, coming off of especially United mm-hmm. World Championship season. And that they're looking to get this team back to the tippity top of the IFL ranks. Now, they were one of the best teams in the East Conference, but every year this organization has the goal to end up hoisting up the trophy at the end of the year.
That's without a doubt, because they put in the work in the back rooms and in behind the scenes throughout the offseason, and you see the players, you know, putting in the work as well. And when they are out there trying to scout them and trying to, that's another great thing, is they can see these workouts and some of the other teams that didn't pick up somebody, maybe they find something special in some of these other draft drops, you know, that have come out of the XFL or even the USFL. So you got to think that building the Pirates in that manner and trying to restock the ship is going to be maybe even a little tougher with all of the guys that are wanting to go to the XFL. But the quality, I think, that will return will be better.
Very true. And, you know, one thing I think as well is, it's good that, you know, Jawad's finding ways to get multiple different coaches from, you know, multiple different areas. You know, also Mook Zimmerman is going to be a part of the coaching staff as well. You know, he has a lot of great experience in arena football. And, you know, I think, you know, with the amount of years of experience that the coaching staff is going to have, they're going to do a lot better job than I believe last year's coaching staff did of implementing a strong chemistry. That is the biggest thing that, you know, I've talked about not only with Coach Stout, but Coach Gulliam, is that chemistry and building that up early, and especially that bond. And that's one thing that Sergio Gulliam brought up in our interview, which I thought was very telling of what we could see this team being a lot more bonded. He talked about his family-oriented coaching style and looking at it as a family-oriented sort of organization. And he understands the goals of this team. And, you know, he was also able to be a defensive coordinator for the Albany Empire back in 2021 mm-hmm. when they won the championship.
Right.
So he understands what it takes.
You know, Jake, you understand what it takes. You've done a great job, too. And I know that you want to say a couple of words here. But I first want to say it's been a pleasure being able to work with you. This is your last State of the Ship. And I'm an old man, so I'm going to stick around and do the voice in the arena. And you may find me on the State of the Ship, or you may not. But for you got big things in your future. It's been a pleasure, my friend, to be a part of this with you and to get to know you and to work with you. And hopefully when you make it big in Hollywood someday or in one of these, you know, major league sports teams, which I know you will, you'll remember us little guys and you'll come back and say, hey, Johnny, I got a voiceover or something I need from you. Good job. Yeah. Good luck to you, Jake.
Appreciate it, John. You know, it's been great working with you and, you know, learning from you, you know, throughout this past year or so. And, you know, John alluded to it. This is going to be my last State of the Ship. I'm going to be leaving the organization to, you know, go towards other endeavors. But, you know, it's been an incredible opportunity and experience for me, not only working for the organization, but, you know, getting to meet Pirates Nation, getting to meet the fans, getting to see the passion that the fans really have for seeing this team win. And, you know, that's the biggest thing that I'm really excited to, you know, see going into 2023 is what championship caliber roster Juwan is going to put on that field and, you know, what sort of energy Pirates Nation is going to bring. And so, you know, from the bottom of my heart, really, really appreciate whether, you know, you just watched the video on whatever social media platform that you like to use, you gave it a like, or even if you just watched 2 seconds of this podcast of, you know, John and I talking into these microphones. Really does mean the world to, you know, both of us and to me, myself, somebody who, you know, puts a lot of work into these episodes and somebody who, you know, puts a lot of work into the content that we output as well. But really appreciate, you know, you taking the time as always to tune in. And it's not goodbye. It's see you later. I'm definitely going to be coming back to games. So, you know, it'd be great to see
some
games in the future. No, but, but, you know, really appreciate, you know, all the support throughout this past year. But, you know, we'll end it how we always end it.
That's it.
That's it. Arr.
Arr. We'll see you later on the State of the Ship.